Okay, I think we are live. We are indeed live. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in time and space. Chuck Giants documenting the human experience. Just one man in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. I got a lot of technical stuff going on here that I'm trying to line out. This is a very important yet highly controversial topic, and I don't even know if they'll let us keep this video on, but we're going to give it a go. I hope to bring a more boots on the ground perspective, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. We'll wait for some people to get in here today. I'm a little bit early this morning. If I could get a sound check from people, that would be really, really wonderful. Yeah, that's what I thought. This is not going to... I'd be talking about some books here that I'm going to recommend. We're also going to be listening to some audio. I posted the link to the debate or whatever you want to call it between Ezra Klein and Sam Harris. There's a link where you can go listen to that. I also put a link to the entire interview that's in dispute where Sam Harris, it's been quite a while, probably a couple of years ago, interviewed Charles Murray and about his book, The Bell Curve, which is probably the most controversial book in the past 50 years. So there's links to those deals. And basically what the Harris, it's called Harris Confronts Klein. Klein, Ezra Klein, is a journalist. As a lot of you probably know, Sam Harris is a public intellectual, a New York Times bestselling author multiple times. He's a neuroscientist. He's a well-known atheist, but a very fact-based guy, probably left to center, I guess you could say, but a more reasonable left. And through the course of podcasts, we have talked about the three things that people do. We brought this up a lot during the January 6th hearings, but it's a human thing. It's not left or right. The three things that people do when they don't have an argument and they wish to silence others. The first thing is mischaracterization of someone's position, of the data, of the context, whatever the case, mixing apples and oranges, just not being intellectually forthright about someone's position or the data. The next thing they do is derailments into other topics, you know, look over here at what so-and-so did, or we shouldn't look at that because of this happened in history, or all those types of things. And then the last thing is character assassination, ad hominem attacks, and all those kind of things. Ezra Klein was involved with all three of these when it came to dealing with and his treatment of Sam Harris and his interview of Charles Murray, excuse me, called him basically called him a Nazi and a white supremacist and junk science. And as you see in that exchange between them, Ezra misrepresents data, misrepresents Dr. Flynn's position. And that's what they do when they don't have a legitimate argument. Like I've always said, you know, the progressive left likes to tease, and rightfully so, the religious right on how unreasonable and unscientific they are. And as I've always said, if you want to see a postmodernist toss science and reason under the bus faster than a young Earth creationist, bring up the topic of genetics and human biodiversity, and you'll watch them just absolutely lose their mind. Like I said, I don't even know if I'll be able to keep this video up. It most definitely will be either restricted on monetization, if not cut off altogether. That being said, let me know that the Super Chat is indeed open. If you find benefit from these topics and you wish to have a mutually beneficial exchange, a couple of bucks goes a long way in my world, and I would highly, highly appreciate that. Also, there is now a members area here on the YouTube channel where a lot of my past live streams and unique content, if you wish to be a monthly subscriber, that is now an option. And one of the newest options is a super thanks or something like that. I guess all of my videos have underneath the tabs where you can share save and all that kind of thing has a super tab where if you find a particular video beneficial to you and you wish to contribute, those are some ways that you can contribute. Before we're going to play a little clip here of Sam Harris in a minute, but I want to go through some books that I highly recommend that pertain to the topic. Of course, The Bell Curve, Intelligence and Class Structure in American Life, Richard Herrnstein, who died right before it was published, and Charles Murray. Very controversial book, came out in, I think, 95 or 96. It's been a long time since it came out. But this is the book that is caused all the waves and the whole tiff between Harris and a lot of these other intellectuals. That is the book there. The other book that Harris and Murray talk about is Coming Apart. It's also a book that I've mentioned many times on this channel. Here's one I probably haven't shown you before. It's called A Troublesome Inheritance, Genes, Race, and Human History by Nicholas Wade. Nicholas Wade used to be the science editor for the New York Times. He takes the Aquinian approach in that he lays out all the disingenuous arguments disputing. One of the postmodern things is that race is a social construct. I actually have a podcast on ChuckGines.com with that pseudoscientist Bill Nye, the science guy, actually claiming that race doesn't really exist. It's merely a social construct. Juxtaposed to him, I have Richard Dawkins and other actual biologists that totally refute that insanity. Another one is called Taboo by John Entine, I think is how you pronounce his name, Why Black Athletes Dominate Sports and Why We're Afraid to Talk About It. Another very good book. Stefan Molyneux, before he lost his YouTube channel over this stuff, actually interviewed him on that, if you want to look that one up. Very controversial. Philip Rushton, he's deceased. This is an old book, but just chock full of all kinds of data. You can actually watch him debate some other biologists, totally disingenuous. There's just a moral scolding. There's no refutation of the data. It's called Race, Evolution, and Behavior, A Life History Perspective. I'm not even sure if this is in print anymore, but if it is, it is a good book. Those are all great books on this topic. What I hope to bring in to add to Harris, Jordan Peterson talks about this stuff all the time. Daniel Dennett talks about this stuff. Many other intellectuals, a part of the dark web that they call it nowadays, speak about this stuff. Some people have lost their channels over this stuff. But what I hope to bring is a different perspective or add to this, because people like Jordan Peterson or Ezra Klein or Sam Harris, due to their social peers, their social class that they're in, and their economic class, they don't really have any experience boots on the ground. I highly doubt Sam Harris lived in the Ninth Ward for 6 months. I highly doubt that he's traversed all of Inglewood and Garfield Park and K-Town and Detroit. And I don't think he's ever had someone pull a gun on them simply because they were white, being white, or any of those things. I've experienced all this type of stuff, and I wish to add that in as well. Bubba, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Bob, welcome. Josh, good to see you. So the first thing I want to do, let's play. This is the intro to the original interview Sam Harris did of Charles Murray. And there's a lot of stuff here that I think is very important and relevant. So let's give a little listen to his intro. Can you hear that good? This is from his Waking Up podcast, Sam Harris. Like I said, it's been a couple years ago.
Welcome to the Waking Up podcast. This is Sam Harris. Okay, strap in.
Strap in.
Charles Murray is a political scientist and an author. He is most famous for having co-authored the book The Bell Curve, along with the late Richard Herrnstein. Now, to say that this book was controversial is really beyond an understatement. It is probably fair to say this is the most controversial book in the last 50 years. Now, the book looks at the growing role that intelligence plays in modern societies. And the authors worry about a kind of cognitive partitioning of our society into separate classes. And there was a time when being a few standard deviations above the mean in intelligence didn't get you very much when you're just plowing the field alongside your neighbors. But now you can start a software company or a hedge fund. Okay? And this leads to astonishing levels of wealth inequality and cultural isolation. This is a theme that Murray has returned to in his other work and in a more recent book, Coming Apart, which we also discuss. Now, unfortunately for Murray, what we have here is a set of nested taboos. Human intelligence itself is a taboo topic. People don't want to hear that intelligence is a real thing, and that some people have more of it than others. They don't want to hear that IQ tests really measure it. They don't want to hear that differences in IQ matter, because they're highly predictive of differential success in life, and not just for things like educational attainment and wealth, but for things like out-of-wedlock birth and mortality. People don't want to hear that a person's intelligence is in large measure due to his or her genes. And there seems to be very little we can do environmentally to increase a person's intelligence, even in childhood. It's not that the environment doesn't matter, but genes appear to be 50 to 80% of the story.
50 to 80.
People don't want to hear this. And they certainly don't want to hear that average IQ differs across races and ethnic groups. Now, for better or worse, these are all facts. In fact, there is almost nothing in psychological science for which there is more evidence than these claims.
This is solid.
About IQ, about the validity of testing for it.
Can you hear this good?
About its importance in the real world, about its heritability, and about its differential expression in different populations. Again, this is what a dispassionate look at decades of research suggests. Unfortunately, the controversy over the bell curve did not result from legitimate good faith criticisms of its major claims.
Nope.
Rather, it was the product of a politically correct moral panic that totally engulfed Murray's career and has yet to release him. His co-author, Richard Herrnstein, died just before the book was published. So Murray weathered the storm alone. And it rages to this day.
People's lives are
destroyed.
The book
was published over 20 years ago. And yet just last month, Murray was shouted down by a mob at Middlebury College. A mob that actually turned violent and sent the faculty member who was chaperoning him to the hospital. And it's that most recent attack, which is part of an anti-free speech hysteria that is spreading on college campuses, that caused me to finally pay attention. I should say that some researchers just performed a rather delightful experiment.
Okay, that's pretty much what I wanted to play, just to get some things out there. First of all, that the data is absolutely solid on this. It's not pseudoscience. It hasn't been debunked. This is like really solid stuff. As Harris points out, there isn't anything more solid in psychological sciences than IQ, the legitimacy of IQ, and the disproportion between racial groups of IQ. There's really no disputing this. Now, what Klein and Harris, and what Klein always does is he mixes, you know, what the data is with what social policy we should enact. He's against Murray on his ideas with social policy. And we really need to keep these things straight. You know, what is the data is the data. What we should do now that we have this data is a total different argument, and those should not be mixed up. The data is the data. And what is the data? The data is that people have this thing we call G, that's what scientists call it, general intelligence, cognitive ability, and that it is measurable. They've been doing IQ testing for over 100 years. They've modified the testing, improved the testing. It's highly, highly accurate. Very, very accurate. The other thing is that it is not equally distributed amongst racial groups. Now, that being said, as Harris says, and I always say, I'm a firm believer in that we need to judge each and every individual on their own merits, okay? You don't, to me, that's the definition of racism, is to immediately ascribe group tendencies to an individual without to pull a gun on me because someone is mad because of slavery 200 years ago, right? That's collective group guilt. You're not judging me as an individual. You're just saying, hey, there's that white guy. He's the oppressor. Therefore, we should hate him. That is racism. Today, people want to say that just merely noticing human biodiversity is racism itself, and that's a changing of the definition. So while there are group tendencies, not just with racial groups, with all groups, we still need to practice that we judge individuals on their own merit. That doesn't mean that we forget all of the group stuff, but we need to judge individual people. So what does this data show? Well, Aboriginal people have an average doesn't mean everybody, average IQ of 65. Aborigines count 1, 2, 3 many. There's a reason why, because they can't cognitively go past that. Average IQ of 65 is really, really down there. Sub-Saharan Africans have an average IQ of 75. Blacks who live in white cultures, either Canada or England or the United States, it doesn't matter, who live outside of Sub-Saharan Africa have an average IQ of 85. Hispanics have an average IQ of 9. Look at the people dropping off. It's uncomfortable, but this is solid stuff. Have an average IQ of 95. Your average white European walking around has an IQ of 100. Your average Asian has an IQ of 106. Okay? That's the data. That's what it says. What does that mean? What does this have to do with social policy is something we should be talking about. But to argue that this is not the case is intellectual dishonesty par excellent. There's no doubt that this is the case. Now, the other problem was, and the thing that Klein and his fellow left woke postmodernists have, is that at least half of this, and like Harris says, researchers and scientists are leaning more towards about 80% of this is heritable and is genetic, which means you're not going to have a wealth distribution program, a Head Start program, any sort of social policy that is going to elevate anybody's IQ. And that's what Klein and a lot of postmodern woke people have a real hard time with. That there is a genetic element to this, at least 50%, and more than likely as much as 80%. And as Sam Harris articulated there, it's not that environment doesn't play a role, it's just that it's not all that significant. And that is what all of the data points to, that this is very much just like our personality, you know, just like your height is a genetic thing. Does that mean that nutrition can't affect that? No, nutrition can. You may not reach your genetic potential of height due to malnutrition, but it's genetic. And the same thing with IQ and cognitive abilities. Now, Harris doesn't understand why this is important as much as I understand this is important. There's a racism that goes on. Harris points out, and this goes to this book here about black athletes. So West Africans win the 100 relay every time, all the time, in the Olympics since the 70s, since West Africans have participated in the 100-yard dash, okay? And it doesn't matter what country they come from. If they're originally from West African and they have West African heritage and they are representing England, it doesn't matter. They win all the time. And as Harris points, what the hell was that? As Harris points out, that this isn't because of nature. This is because of genetics involved. But we don't say immediately because West Africans win the 100-yard dash in the Olympics every time, all the time, that there must be anti-Semitism here because Jews are not performing well in the 100-yard dash. We don't do that, right? But we do do that. Let me give you an example. I was at a Black Lives Matter rally here in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. And they were having speakers espouse some of their philosophy. And one of the speakers brought up the fact that in higher professions, say, like, let's take doctors and lawyers, that Black people are grossly misrepresentative. In other words, African Americans make up about 14% of the United States population, and they make up about 1% of doctors and lawyers. Okay? That is true. What this person was espousing as causality, the reason for this, the exclusive reason for this, is because of white Europeans' oppression. Well, there's some problems with this. First of all, that does nothing. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, what this does is inspire the racism, that the incredible hatred and racism that Black people as a group have towards white people. If you wish to experience this, I would encourage you to walk around the Ninth Ward for about 6 months. You get, it's almost as if a memo went out into the neighborhood to hate white people. People don't return good mornings. All the way up to being threatened in line. If you're at the gas station getting a cup of coffee, someone, this happened multiple times. Wait till the revolution goes down. We're going to kill all you cracker motherfuckers. And then the whole crowd, everybody else in line laughs like they're all in on it. There's just incredible animosity. But let's take a look at some of the discriminating factors when it comes to being a doctor and a lawyer. What I would like to know, and I'll give you the answer is zero. How many Asians are doctors and lawyers who have an IQ of 85? Zero. How many Europeans or pink people or tall people, short people, fat people, gay people, straight people, how many of those people are doctors or lawyers who are packing an IQ of 85? Well, the answer is zero, because you need about a 115 IQ in order to have a career as a lawyer or as a doctor. It requires a 115. So the big discriminatory factor here isn't oppressive white people. It's you have to have a 115 IQ. Well, this is a problem when it comes to African Americans, because on average, they have an IQ of 85. That means a whole lot of people have it. Let me throw out another statistic to you, which is really troublesome. One out of every 1,000 people of European ancestry, one in every 1,000 has an IQ of 145 or higher. One in every 1,000. When we look at African Americans, that figure is one in every 250,000. So there is a big gap here when it comes to average cognitive ability. And that's the whole point of Murray and all those talking about the stratification that is happening in our society along IQ lines. And it's not just Black people. Asians with 85 IQ are not going to do real well. White people, Hispanic people, doesn't matter what your racial makeup is. If you're packing an 85 or a 95 IQ, you're not going to do real well in today's modern world. the laborer is almost done. We've built the cities. We've built the roads. It's just, it's maintenance work now, right? So there's not a big requirement. There's not a lot of jobs for people of average or below average IQs nowadays. And this is a problem. This is reality. So the big discriminating factor there is IQ and not evil, oppressive white people. And to preach that is racism and stirs animosity and hatred. And that's why this is an important, for me, it's an important topic because I have seen firsthand the amount of hatred and racism that, I mean, if you want to talk about the problem of racism today, it's not black on white, white on black. It's black on white. That is the most pronounced, up in your face, just running around on a daily basis type of racism that we have today. It was interesting. There was a video of a black lady who went to Wyoming, and she was amazed at how kind, because Wyoming's mostly white, how kind everybody was to her. And I said in the comments, white people that enter black neighborhoods are not afforded that same courtesy. I'm not saying that white people, there aren't racist white people. I'm not saying that. There are. But it's not really, I mean, you're never going to wipe it all the way out. But for the most part, white people want to get along. That's been my experience. And it hurts me that we are to blame all the time for the lack of prosperity within the black community. And there are other factors that trump slavery. they just do, or Jim Crow laws, or any of those things. A lot of them are cultural and behavioral. When we look at crime today, it's just incredibly, as a matter of fact, there was a, can't remember what his name, he's a documentary guy, and he posted something about some old Nazi stuff about does one racial group produce more criminals. And I didn't watch the video. I don't have to watch the video to know the answer to that question. And it was amazing. People started threatening me, physically threatening me, real hostile towards me. And all I did, and I said, I don't know why you guys are getting mad at me. I gave you crime statistics. So I don't know why you're mad at me. It's just data. I don't make this stuff up, but that's the type of thing. And that's what Sam Harris has suffered from Mr. Klein and other people. Character assassination, mischaracterization of the data. You know, Dr. James Watson, thank you very much. I really appreciate that, man. I'm not going to make ad revenue off of this video. So if you guys, if you're benefiting from this, please contribute a couple bucks. It's called a mutually beneficial exchange. Dr. James Watson is the scientist who discovered the double helix of DNA. His career was absolutely devastated. They took his Nobel Peace Prize away, everything, because he stated the data that we think that we're going to throw money at this problem, and there's genetic things here, and you're not going to be able to raise people's IQ. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. So what types of, now what Murray proposes, and some of this stuff I agree with, basically what we have is a social engineering eugenics program that funds through tax dollars the reproduction of a lot of low IQ people that normally in a normal circumstance wouldn't be having as many children. It's totally subsidized. I know that's a hard thing to talk about, man, but that is, you know, what do we do with this data? Because it's real. And pretending it's not isn't going to make the problem go away. Harris also brought up the Neanderthal, how Europeans and Asians are about on average 2.7% Neanderthal. As we know today, sub-Saharan Africans did not interbreed with Neanderthals, but with a different hominoid species. Why is that relevant? Well, it means we're not one big happy family. We're all originally from Ohio, okay? That sapiens are a hybrid mixture of different hominoids, which makes us, that could contribute to a lot of these cognitive abilities, discrepancies that we have between racial groups. It could go all the way back to that. You know, the other thing, testosterone levels. We know that on average, African Americans have higher testosterone levels than Asians and Europeans. Why is this important? They also have less R4 inhibitors. I'm not a biologist, but basically what that is sort of like a radiator that cools off the effects of testosterone. So not only do they, and you know how they discovered this? Totally by accident, looking at prostate cancer. But these are realities. This is human biodiversity. Why is that important? Well, it goes to explain why African Americans, one of the reasons why African Americans excel in many of these sporting events. But it also goes to show why, it's not the absolute reason, but it's a contributing factor as to why there's so much crime and violence in that community. I'm not saying there's not environmental and cultural factors, but that we know that testosterone, that's why there's more men in jail than women. It plays a role. And not talking about these things does not make the world go away. Let me open this up a little bit to you guys here, and let me know if you want me to play that clip from Sam Harris again, which pretty much lays it all out there. Again, you can lose your channel over this stuff. Many people have lost their careers over this. Oh, and what Sam Harris has been saying, what Klein does is he mischaracterizes Dr. Flynn's position, and then he latches on to one scientist that doesn't agree with any of this stuff, okay? And like Harris says, man, that's really disingenuous. And he, like Harris said, I have like a whole I have a whole list of scientists that have contacted me, but they're afraid to come out publicly, right? Because the atmosphere to talk about this stuff will destroy your career. But this is solid stuff, man. There's no doubt about it. That is the data. What we do about it is up for conversation, and that's what we need to be talking about, really and seriously. If we, with the goal of the maximization of human well-being for all people, this isn't about white supremacism and wanting to oppress people. Not from me, not from Sam Harris, and not from Charles Murray, even though Klein and his postmodern acolytes, that's what they try to do. They try to character assassinate you that you just want to be an oppressive SOB. It's not the case at all. I have a very profound compassion, sympathy, and concern for my fellow well-being of my fellow human beings and my society and my culture. I have no desire to dominate and control over anybody. But I also don't want my ethnicity lambasted and the victim of, Colin Flaherty, he passed away, and the news doesn't cover a lot of this. The amount of interracial crime, black on white crime, is 90%. 90% of interracial crime is black people committing violent crimes against white people. I want you to get your mind around that. 90% of interracial, now that's not counting black on Asian crime. When you take all interracial crime, crimes between two racial groups, 90% of it is black on white. That, my friends, is a crisis. That crisis is fueled by the idea that the reason, the sole and only reason, number one reason why black people on average are not as successful is because of those evil white people. You teach kids that, then you have statistics where 90% of the crime is one way. Incredible stuff. I mean, I could get into like rapes, but you're not allowed to talk about it. What do you guys think about this? Funny how people find facts and to be educated as offensive and retaliate against. Now, Dottie, to be fair, this is a touchy subject. To be fair, it is a very touchy subject. We're talking about inequality between people. So it is a touchy subject. So I kind of understand, I'm not justifying it, but I understand where the postmodern liberal is coming from. It's an emotional response. It's not intellectually honest. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's a knee-jerk reaction coming from emotion. But I understand it because it is a touchy subject. As Sam Harris has pointed out, the data is going to emerge anyways. Absolutely, Bob. Like I said, realizing as much as 23% more testosterone in African Americans than Asians and Caucasians, what was discovered through the medical field, looking at why do blacks have prostate cancer on such a higher frequency than other racial groups. Asians have the lowest testosterone level. They have not only the least amount of prostate cancer, they have the least amount of violent crime. Gee, is there more than just a correlation here? You know, we have to look at this. Where can we get the interracial crimes data? You can get that from the Department of Justice. You can get it from the CDC, and you can get it from the Crime Victimization Survey. You can also get it from American Renaissance. He's been banned off of everything. They destroyed his PayPal account. It's called American Renaissance. Charles Taylor, I think his name is. Jared Taylor, the American Renaissance. I have it here. It's called The Color of Crime Report. It's a PDF that you can download. A lot of places no longer are keeping this data because it's racist. but that data is readily available, and it's from multiple. That's what's cool about it. When you start getting data like the Crime Victimization Survey, overlays with the DOJ stats, which is quite compelling that these are not manipulated. They're not manipulated statistics. They're actual stats. But that's where you can get those things from. A lot of times individual cities keep stats. For example, in cities like New York and Chicago, 98% of all shootings, I mean, you shouldn't find this weird. Just watch the news on a daily basis. 98% of all shootings are committed by black people. 91% of all robberies are committed by black people in cities like Memphis, Chicago, thereabouts. So there's all kinds of data out there. And this data is global. It's not just America. You find very similar things wherever you find these populations of people. So that's the data. It's pretty irrefutable. It's very solid. And so now the question is what do we do as far as our social policies now that we have this data? What people have done is a lot of reverse racism. A lot of Asians are suing because they're being excluded from universities to let black people who score way lower on the tests to let them in, all kinds of affirmative action. Well, that's not fair to those people. That's not a meritocracy. That's reverse racism. I've always been against affirmative action. It's reverse racism and causes a lot of problems and animosity. And then, you know, because you lower the standards to get into college doesn't mean that they're going to pass the courses. It's just, What do we do as far as social policy is a really good question. But first of all, we have to all come to terms with this is reality. Like I said, if you want to see someone throw science and data under the bus faster than a young Earth creationist, look at a postmodern liberal when it comes to human biodiversity. No doubt about it. Yeah, and the interracial crime stats, just what used to be in the 80s, was like 85%. It's gone up. It's 90% of interracial crime is black on white. And, you know, it's not right. You know, it's not right. So the reason I bring this up is because I want a more just world for everybody. It's not too – and the same thing, if you think Sam Harris is some kind of white supremacist, it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. And yet he found his way because of Klein and his people. Sam Harris found himself on the front page of the Southern Poverty Law Center as some sort of hate monger. Wow. To destroy people's lives like that is evil. It's absolute pure evil. Again, Super Chat is open if you wish to kick in a few bucks. This is highly controversial. I'm going to play once again. I want everybody to listen to this. This is Sam Harris. This is the introduction to his interview that he did several years ago of Charles Murray, the author of The Bell Curve. This is from his Waking Up podcast. And it's this two minutes here is really
welcome to the Waking Up podcast.
Chock full of good info.
This is Sam Harris. Okay, strap in. Charles Murray is a political scientist and an author. He is most famous for having co-authored the book The Bell Curve, along with the late Richard Herrnstein. Now, to say that this book was controversial is really beyond an understatement. It is probably fair to say this is the most controversial book in the last 50 years. Now, the book looks at the growing role that intelligence plays in modern societies. And the authors worry about a kind of cognitive partitioning of our society into separate classes. I mean, there was a time when being a few standard deviations above the mean in intelligence didn't get you very much when you're just plowing the field alongside your neighbors. But now you can start a software company or a hedge fund. Okay? And this leads to astonishing levels of wealth inequality and cultural isolation.
That's what we're seeing.
This is a theme that Murray has returned to in his other work and in a more recent book, Coming Apart, which we also discuss. Now, unfortunately for Murray, what we have here is a set of nested taboos. Human intelligence itself is a taboo topic. People don't want to hear that intelligence is a real thing and that some people have more of it than others. They don't want to hear that IQ tests really measure it. They don't want to hear that differences in IQ matter because they're highly predictive of differential success in life, and not just for things like educational attainment and wealth, but for things like out-of-wedlock birth and mortality. People don't want to hear that a person's intelligence is in large measure due to his or her genes, and that there seems to be very little we can do environmentally to increase a person's intelligence, even in childhood. It's not that the environment doesn't matter, but genes appear to be 50 to 80% of the story. People don't want to hear this, and they certainly don't want to hear that average IQ differs across races and ethnic groups. Now, for better or worse, these are all facts. In fact, there is almost nothing in psychological science for which there is more evidence than these claims.
That's a big statement.
About IQ, about the validity of testing for it, about its importance in the real world, about its heritability, and about its differential expression in different populations. Again, this is what a dispassionate look at decades of research suggests.
Over 100 years.
Unfortunately, the controversy over the bell curve did not result from legitimate good faith criticisms of its major claims. Rather, it was the product of a politically correct moral panic.
Great book on
that
the topic.
Totally engulfed Murray's career and has yet to release him. His co-author, Richard Herrnstein, died just before the book was published. So Murray weathered the storm alone. And it rages to this day. The book was published over 20 years ago. And yet just last month, Murray was shouted down by a mob at Middlebury College.
None of them read the book, more
than a mob that actually turned violent and sent the faculty member who was chaperoning him to the hospital. And it's that,
and that's the climate and the atmosphere that we're in when we bring up these topics. Is there anyone else that would wish to say anything? Is there anybody that would wish to argue, to somehow claim that this is not the data? I mean, good luck to you. It's you've got a long way to go, because it's pretty clear that this is the data. And then again, the conversation needs to move from there to what sort of social policy do we have now that we have this type of information readily available to us? It goes a long way to explain why certain groups of people are not as successful. And merely blaming some other group for that is counterproductive. It causes hatred and violence and more poverty. And it does no good for anybody. And the social justice warriors, as good as their intentions may be, do disservice to those they wish to help, because they're not dealing with the facts. They're dealing with emotion. They're dealing with mythology and all those types of things. This channel is about in search of what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. And we know what is true, that there is human biodiversity, and there are differences on average in cognitive abilities between different racial groups. And you know what we're going to do about that, I don't know. Ivar, Chuck, very good to see you. Well, you lost a little weight a few years ago. You're looking strong now. Yeah, my health has improved a great deal. So again, there is now a members area here on this YouTube channel. If you go to the front page, I think it says join right next to the subscribe button. Also in the tabs up top where it says, you know, live streams and community tab, there's also a membership option there. A lot of these live streams I'm putting, I think there's like 26 or 27 videos over there now for members. It's a great way to help the channel out. I wish to continue doing this type of stuff. I think it's important for everybody. And again, we're not coming from a place of hate here or oppression or anything like that, even though that's what they'll try to say. So again, some of those books that are well worth reading, The Bell Curve, Intelligence and Class Structure in American Life by Richard Herrnstein and Charles Murray. That is the book that kicked it all off. It's actually chapter 16 is where he talks about a lot of this stuff. Coming Apart, The State of White America, 1960 through 2010. Great book. Nicholas Wade, A Troublesome Inheritance. Great book for looking at all the disingenuous arguments that come from the people that are in denial of this science. A Troublesome Inheritance, Genes, Race, and Human History by Nicholas Wade, former science editor for the New York Times. Taboo, Why Black Athletes Dominate Sports and Why We're Afraid to Talk About It by Joan Entine. Another really great book. And a very controversial yet important book by Philip Rushton, Race, Evolution, and Behavior, A Life History Perspective. I don't know, this may be out of print. You may have to get this used. All really good stuff. The Color of Crime Report is also a really good read. And, you know, the big problem within the black community is black on black crime. Crisis of cop, racist white cops shooting down innocent black people is a mythology. And the real crisis and thing that needs to be corrected is black on black crime. Bob says, my daughter is very successful. In order for my son to be successful like hers, I have to find out where his underlying problems are in order to help them. My daughter is very successful. In order for my son to be successful like her, I have to find out where his underlying problem in order to help them. Well, sure, for everything. I mean, the whole key of Alcoholics Anonymous is admitting that you got a problem, or else you can't solve it. And like I'm saying, being in denial of these things, as no matter how good your intentions might be, you actually have the opposite effect. we want to move towards the greatest maximization of human well-being. And being in denial of reality isn't going to move us closer to that. It's going to move us further away from that, regardless of what your intentions may be. You may have the best intentions in the world for wanting to deny all of this data that's very, very real. And but in doing so, you're not moving anybody towards greater well-being. It's just not happening. And we have to play the game of life with the cards that we have been dealt. And blaming white people all the time does nothing but create mountains of hatred. Like I said, Sam Harris is unaware from a firsthand basis, like I am, of the magnitude and the power and the ferocity of black hatred towards white people. It's really, really something. And the crime statistics, interracial crime statistics, reflect exactly what I have experienced from whether it's the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, Detroit, Baltimore, Inglewood. It doesn't matter. That's exactly what I have experienced, and that's anecdotal, but it is reflective of the crime data. And there's a lot of hatred, and it's overwhelmingly one direction. It's black people having a lot of racism and hatred and animosity towards white people. And if we're going to move forward, we have to learn to get along. And that is not the way to do it. So my goal here is the maximization of human well-being. I lived in Memphis for 2 months and couldn't believe the open racism against whites everywhere I went. It's incredible, Jay. It's incredible. It's not healthy. It is destructive, and nobody, you're not allowed to talk about it, but it is very, very real, and it's very sad, and I hope that we can all come to terms and move forward. Like I said, my goal is the maximization of human well-being for everybody involved, and being in denial of reality isn't going to move us there, so... I am not a white supremacist. I have no desire to control and dominate others. I just don't. And I feel a necessity to answer the charge. one of the things the guy kind of mocked Murray Klein, but it's actually true. If you look at all of the major inventions wrought into this world that have moved humanity forward, almost all of those inventions have been wrought into this world by European men. Think about it. The printing press, the internal combustion engine, liberal democracy, the scientific method, the cell phone, rocket engines. I mean, we can go on and on and on. The great books to read on that are by Daniel J. Bornstein, written in the 1970s, called The Creators, The Discoverers, and The Explorers. I don't even know if you could write those books today. But anyway, it's not about white supremacy. It's about maximizing human well-being for everybody. Those are the facts. I hope you enjoyed this. Again, all of the videos now have a super thank you or something like that. So if you find a particular, if you like my video on what is consciousness and where is it located, be sure to kick in a couple bucks. Now that type of monetization is here now. And I work very hard at this stuff. I've studied for many, many years, not for any kind of profession or a career, but just because I am a lover of wisdom, and I am just one guy in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. You guys have a great day.